You know I got it. Come and get it. Who's your daddy? Who's your baby? Who's your buddy? Who's your friend? And who's the one guy that you come running to when your little life starts tumbling? She's back. Miss Amy is back with an all-new Living Way Out Here on the Survival Circle Network. Join Amy for an uplifting hour of fun on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday evenings at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Survival Circle. Welcome to the Shooting Bench on Survival Circle Radio Network, keeping you informed on guns, news, politics, guns, survival, preparedness, and guns. The tyrant is holding our country hostage, and our freedom is at stake. It's time to take a stand and tell the tyrant, we will not comply. Join me now in the never-ending fight against tyranny, right here on the Shooting Bench. All right, here we are. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. It's Tuesday night. It's the 20th of January. And I'm going to start right out here, just like it was Friday night, but I'm going to start right out here with a really, really neat song that a couple guys did. Branch and Dean is their name. It's a true story. One of the guys' son died. And this is a follow-up to the thing that Amy just talked about, the Dash, the poem that she read.
You know, music has the ability to change lives. We never knew when we wrote this song we'd be changing our own.
And you know, this song's really special to me because I just had a son that passed away with cystic fibrosis. And man, he really knew how to live his life. He was my hero. And he taught me how to live my Dash.
'1990-2013 was written and granted above rest in peace. Those two little numbers with a line in between got me thinking about how much that little line means. Life goes by so fast, and our stories define by how we spend that Dash. So take every breath like it's the only one you'll get, 'cause there's only first breath until the last. How will you spend your days? We rejoice when a baby's born and opens up his eyes. And Lord, it tears our hearts up when our loved ones say goodbye. One moment there's a future, and another that's your past. So from this moment on, I know how I'll spend my days. I'll take every breath like it's the only one I'll get, 'cause there's only so much breath you get to take. When it comes to love, you can never get enough. So love like you mean it every day. From the first breath until the last, how you spend your
I usually don't start my show out with a song. Isn't that an awesome song? That is an amazing song. I've listened to it numerous times. And it's just a great, great song. It really makes you think. So, anyway, there you go. Let's move on with the Shooting Bench, Iowa Cat. I posted that link in there for you. Anybody that wants to check that out, there it is. Great, great song. Okay, let's just jump right in here to some news and stuff that's going on. By the way, Thursday night, we're going to, by popular demand, popular request, we're going to have a militia show on Thursday night. We're going to talk about what the militia is, what it's about, the perception of other people, the formation of it, the legality of it, how to start your own militia, and some gear that you might get, the whole nine yards. When you get through with Thursday night, matter of fact, we're probably going to run over quite a bit on our time. It'll probably be more than an hour show. We're going to, by the time you get done with Thursday night, you're going to have a real good idea of any questions that come up with your friends, any discussion that you want to get into. You want to start your own group. You started, you're trying to figure out how to go about it, and you got to figure out what kind of gear you want to get. This is just some suggestions. Everybody I know, there'll be people, oh, you can't do that, you got to do this, that. Well, this is how we do it. So Thursday night, all militia night. So there you go, for those of you that are interested. If you're not interested, be here anyway, okay? All right. Okay, Arizona has passed a law. I love Arizona most of the time. Sometimes maybe not so much. But they've passed a law, for real, requiring students to pass a civics test. And I think that is absolutely awesome. Matter of fact, I don't know why it should even be an issue. I think that every state in the union should pass this law. I think every state out there should have kids before they get out of high school be able to pass a civics test. And if you can't, then you stay your dumb ass in high school and until you can. This should not be an option. This is something that will benefit your life as much as some of the other crap they teach you in there that they let you get by with. So stand by just a minute. I may have some breaking news here. Let's check just a second. Okay. Norpray, you're welcome. Thank you very much. And thank you for those of you that have helped support the new Survival Circle, the new format and network here. It's been a little bit tough getting started, but I think we're kind of underway now and doing just fine. And we appreciate the support that we get from our listeners out there. Okay, the C7, we'll talk also about the lone wolf concept out there. So there you go. All right, this law that Arizona's passing, I took this test the other day, and I was disappointed in myself. I know why I did it, because I was tired and I was hurrying. I thought I was smarter than I really was, and I breezed through it way too fast, and I only got a 91 on that test. And I'm very disappointed. I went back and looked at some of the ones that I missed, and it was just so simple. And so now there was a couple of them that I would have missed no matter how much time I took, unless I would have taken the time to look it up. But you can go. I'll tell you what I think I'm going to do. I scored a 91 on the test. I'm going to post this link in the chat room for you, and if you open this up and go down just about 3 inches under the picture, under the video that's here, there's a deal. Click here to take the civics test. And you can click on that link and take the test yourself. Doesn't do any good to look things up and cheat on it. Of course, it also helps you learn the answers if you don't know. But the sad thing about this is that you only have to have a 60. A D minus is passing, and the 60 in school is most places is a D minus. I think this should be at least 75-80%. If not, coming right out of school, I don't know why they couldn't max it. Of course, being fair to some of the intellectually challenged out there, 75% would be, I could live with that. I'm okay with that. But getting right out of school, these kids, they ought to get 100% on this. But 60%, okay, yeah, they got to take it, but 60% is hardly what I would call a passing grade. I mean, it just barely makes it. 59 is an F in most schools. 60 is a D minus. But they're saying that this test is being pushed nationwide by an outfit here in Arizona called the Joe Foss Institute. Has a goal of having all 50 states adopt this in the next couple of years. So the 2017 is the 230th anniversary of the U.S. Constitution. The Institute says legislatures in 15 states are expected to consider it this year. So that's a good deal. The Foss Institute's motto is Patriotism Matters. It's created a civics institute to promote the test to state legislatures as a way to increase the understanding of basic government by students. I talk to people all the time, grown-ups, 30, 40 years old, or even more sometimes. And certainly the kids, absolutely clueless, have no earthly idea in their wildest nightmares how to answer some of these questions. They have no idea about who the Speaker of the House is, the different parties, what's the most popular third party, whatever. I mean, you just can't. I told you this story before, but since it's relevant right now, I'm gonna pop it in here again real quick. I was working in right outside of Grants, New Mexico, on a highway job out there one time. I was running a excavator. There was a gal. She was cute as she could be, and she was running a loader. So we stopped and was eating lunch, sitting out there on the side of the hill, and it was right about election time. Well, it wasn't either. It was still a pretty good ways till election time. It was several months, but you know how it is, and all the TV ads and everything. And it was the first year that George W. was running. And I'm talking to this girl, and I don't know how the subject came up, and I mean, it usually does when I'm involved in the conversation, something about politics or something will come up. And I asked her, I mean, I don't remember exactly what came up, but anyway, I said something to the effect of, just like his daddy did, or something, talking about George W. Bush, or something about just like his daddy did. And you know what she said? She said, you know what she said, Amy?
No, you told me to.
You remember? She said, oh, his daddy was a president too? I was done. However cute she was, I was through talking to her. I just folded up my stuff, got back in my backhoe and my excavator, and just kept on working. Same thing happened in, or very, very similar, for the same reason. I was talking to a cute little girl up in Idaho in a beer joint. Actually, it was a ski lodge, and I was the night lift supervisor on the ski lift. And when that was over, I went in and I was the bouncer, kind of kept order in the lodge till closing time. So I was behind the bar, and I struck up a conversation with this gal and was talking to her, and that conversation lasted 5 minutes or so, and the topic came up somehow of school and what she was doing there and everything. She was going to college to be an attorney, and she said that her goal, her primary thing that she was going to try to do, is represent mafia people, whether no matter what they'd done, murder, drugs, whatever. She said everybody is everybody can be rehabilitated. She said no matter what they've done, everybody can be rehabilitated. I was done. I do not believe that everybody can be rehabilitated. I believe that a great many of them should, their rehabilitation should be a bullet between the eyes. And some of them could probably maybe stand having their limbs pulled off and thrown in separate directions and burned at the stake or something. I do not believe everybody can be rehabilitated. I just told Amy a story about I was showing a video here of a, fortunately, I'm so glad that these people, whoever they were, had a nanny cam up there. Obviously, nanny didn't know about it.
That wasn't her child?
No. Nanny cam caught her. It was babysitter.
That was the babysitter?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd have her killed. She'd be dead right now.
Yeah, I wouldn't even turn that into the cops. Mm-mm. I'd have killed that woman and disposed of the body somewhere and just pretended like it never happened. Probably wouldn't feel too bad about doing it. But anyhow, the baby was sitting there and she wasn't eating very good, and she just hauled off, slapped the hell out of her, and then again, I mean, this was a baby. She was, if she could walk at all, she was just a very unsteady toddler, if at all. Slapped the hell out of her a couple of times. And then she's sitting there watching TV, and the babysitter is eating something. And the baby's sitting there for a while, and pretty soon just projectile vomit. I mean, just like a water fountain, just threw up all this orange crap out there in the middle of the floor. And that babysitter set her bowl down, grabbed that kid and threw her out in the middle of the floor, kicked her, picked up something off the couch, I couldn't tell what it was, and spanked her in the butt with it hard. It wasn't a fly swatter, it wasn't a belt, it was something solid. And hit her numerous times, kicked her again, stood on this baby, put her full weight on it, both feet, right in the middle of her back. She did that twice. Kicked her, rolled her across the floor, and then picked her up by one arm, yanked her up, caused her to scream and squeal, and carried her into the other room. I don't know what happened in the other room. And my suggestion on Facebook was to kill her. No, that woman is not going to be rehabilitated because I'm not going to give her a chance. Nobody, absolutely nobody, has the right to treat a baby that way. I don't care what the baby has done, it's still a baby. Nobody should do that to a baby. But then I found out that I went back and looked at this. You know, there's been a few responses to it. And pretty much everybody said that she should be, you know, burned, you know, killed slowly, suffocated, you know, whatever. Nobody was of the opinion that this woman should take another breath after this. But I did find out towards the end of this discussion that she was in jail. Thank God for this this nanny cam that caught her. And if she'd have made it to jail at all, to Tinker, the pigment of the babysitter and the baby was the same. If this person would have made it to jail at all, it would have been via the county hospital. Because I could promise you one damn thing, there would have been hell to pay if that was my kid. Of course, if that was my kid, there'd probably be hell to pay anyway because the kid was black, and I'm sure Amy would have wonder how that happened, but anyway.
Got some explaining to do.
Yep, as well, I won't say that. I got a little cliche for that, but probably had not to say it on the air. But okay, Nor Pray, I will do that. I will take care of that for you. All right, let's get back here to where we were at. We were talking about the the law that Arizona has passed. For those of you that don't know who Joe Foss is, Joe Foss was an awesome individual. He was a governor of South Dakota, and won the Medal of Honor in World War II, died in 2003. Joe Foss was also a, for those of you that pay attention to what goes on in the NRA, Joe Foss was at one time, I believe, the chief cook and bottle washer, top dog on the board. I think he was the president of the NRA. He was the president of the NRA. He was for some time. And he was on the NRA's board for some time after that. So if you ever hear the name Joe Foss, he was a war hero. He was a pro-gunner, staunchly conservative. He was a good guy. All right, let's move on here. We got another one. There's some some muggers here that gave it, well, this is kind of a neat video, but it'd make a long story short. These muggers learned a very important lesson about courtesy and being nice to an intended victim here. They could take something from that kid that Amy was talking about holding doors open. They tried to mug these guys, and two Marines jumped in there, found out about it, and there was two muggers, two Marines, and didn't work. They'd wish that they had probably picked a different profession after this night was over. So, anyway, we'll just let it go with that for right now. Let's see. Oh, that was left over. We don't need that. There's, wait a minute, what you got here?
Restroom sign.
Amy's showing me a sign right now about where the restrooms are. You know, men, women, the two different restrooms. Well, men the arrow's pointing to the left, and women, the arrow pointing to the right. So when you walk up there, you go one way for the men, the other way for the women. Well, the reason for this says men to the left because women are always right. All right, whatever. It's your story. You can tell it however you want to.
Yeah, I think that's a bad thing.
Yeah, but it's a wrong thing.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, anyway. Okay. It's getting close enough to break time. I think we're going to take a little break here. We've got dogs barking and stuff going on, so I'm going to take a little break, and we'll see you guys here in just a little bit. Let me move one of these out of the way on account we already heard that. So I think, this would be okay.
Yeah, a big one. How about you? You sure you want to get cute with me? You have a backup weapon?
Never had the need.
Get one. Keep that in your suit unless I tell you to take it out. Get yourself a Glock. Lose that nickel-plated sissy pistol.
Join that sexy thing for living way out here on the Survival Circle Network. Yep, Amy's back on weeknights except Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time with an hour of trivia, fun, and interesting stories. Join her for living way out here.
Take me on, you must be crazy. There ain't a single thing you've done that's gonna faze me.
Pain and it has taught me how to stand and fight for what I believe in. I guess that's just how I was raised.
Protected by the good Lord.
I'd meet them both if you show up here, not welcome, son. Our necks are burnt, our roads are dirt, and our trucks ain't clean. The dogs run loose, we smoke, we chew, and fry everything out here.
People gonna gather round, gonna show what made this country great. We'll run off the schemers and backroom dealers, so the red, white, and blue will prevail when we're holding a hammer. When we're holding a hammer. When we're holding a hammer. Every one of them looks like a nail.
Folks had gathered round. There before them lay the body of the outlaw on the ground. Oh, he might have went on living, but he made one fatal slip when he tried to match the ranger with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. Big iron.
And on the ninth day, God spilled some coffee on an angry possum, and God made a liberal. God said...
We already heard that once tonight. That's enough. Amy was just watching a video here of... by the way, welcome back to the shooting bench. Amy's watching a video of a baby moose. Looks like he jumped up on a picket fence with his front feet. And it was right at the gate. And got his... You can imagine how the if you ever looked at a cow or a horse or a goat or a deer or anything like that, they've kind of got that knuckle, and their hoof is bigger in diameter than the small bone right above that, their lower leg bone. And this baby moose got jumped up there, little bitty moose, cute little guy. If mooses can be cute, how come it's mooses and not meese? It's geese instead of gooses. But anyway, his ankles slid down in between the boards there, and it's like he's in a stockade. Can't go anywhere. And so the owner of the house, two guys come up there. They're taking instead of just pushing the two boards off of the nails, getting him out faster, they're taking a hatchet and they're splitting the boards so they can turn him loose. But anyway, whatever they're doing, they're turning him loose. So, and the moose is being relatively patient and allowing this to happen. And I told Amy, I've rescued two or three animals before, and it's funny that they won't fight you. They know I've got a couple of deer untangled out of barbed wire that I've been driving down the road and see that deer was tangled up and still alive, and they won't fight you. Now, when we got done, they took off running, but they recognize, number one, that they can't do anything about it, number two, that you are trying to help, and they get that. This moose got untangled. Now he's backed off. He's backing up. He's about 6 or 8 feet away from the two guys. He's not scared. He's just standing there looking. He's kind of got his ears up. He's saying, I appreciate you guys doing this. I was screwed if you hadn't come along. Thank you very much. I rescued. It was my own dog. And the dog tried to jump the fence. And he fell back down, got his back legs hung up in there. It's a wonder they didn't break. And I was a little tyke. And I went, really, the dog's name was Major. He was a Dalmatian. And I run up to him, and my mom and dad both hollered at me, stay away from him. And I didn't even hear him. I wasn't even, I wasn't even paying him. It was my dog, and he was hurting. And I ran up there. They were afraid that the dog would bite me or something while I was trying to get him untangled. And it was quite the opposite. He quit struggling. He was very, very calm. and allowed me to lift him up, get his feet out of the deal, and then he went off and, you know, licked his feet because I know they were sore. But anyway, I think that's a neat deal. Animals are indeed interesting creatures. Some of the things that they do and everything, it's fun to watch them sometimes. Let's see, we got a new anonymous in there from wherever they might be. Glad you could join us there for a little while. Norpre, it's my pleasure. I appreciate it. I don't know if Northwest Heavy has checked that. Haven't seen him come back in there yet. If he don't, I'll text him and get it to him. You guys may not know it, but Northwest Heavy's taken a class from us up in Washington, and it's one of the numerous of my listeners that I've met and spent some time with. So, okay, let's go on. There's a lot of controversy going on right now about the movie about Chris Kyle, the American Sniper. And I haven't watched it yet. I plan to. The moose is loose now, and he's the moose is loose. You like that? I made a rhyme.
Yeah, you got the
moose
is loose, Dr. Seuss.
Yeah, well, I'm just a poet. And didn't know it. But, you know, I could tell. Mm. Yeah, my feet. They're long fellers. But anyway, moose is loose, and he's running down the road trying to get out of Dodge. Anyway, a lot of controversy about this movie, and I fully intend to go and watch it. And some of you may have seen on Facebook or on the news something Michael Moore has said. Now, there is an individual that is wasting lots of oxygen and lots of food. He's a fat slob. He's a pig. He's a useless, sorry, scum-sucking, bottom-feeding piece of crap. And he says that snipers are cowards, and that that Islam was brave, whatever. I couldn't even make me sick. But if snipers are anything, it's not a coward. To go alone or with one spotter, usually alone, depending on the mission, many times way behind enemy lines, many times with no support, no contact, no way to do anything, go in to do something and get out of there. I'm going to tell you one damn thing. It takes much a man to accomplish what some of these snipers do. Read some of the stories of what it's a little bit different now than with the equipment that we have and everything, but nevertheless, the training that they get and the missions that they accomplish, they're a long damn ways from being a coward. But if you're interested, go and read about Carlos Hathcock back in during the Vietnam War, the 60s, early 70s, whenever it was. And now there was a man that would go and did you see the movie Sniper with Behringer? What's his name? Tom Behringer. In that movie, a lot of the stuff that he did in that movie, the whole thing wasn't about Carlos Hathcock, but a lot of the things that he did in that movie was fashioned after what Hathcock did and some of the things that people know about Hathcock. And one of the most famous things Hathcock was known for is sending a bullet into the rifle scope of a sniper that was stalking him. And in that movie, that happened. And that was a true story. I've heard Carlos Hathcock himself. I mean, I didn't meet him personally, but I've watched a televised interview of him, and he explained how that happened. He said that he was lined up so perfectly that the bullet didn't even bounce off the inside of the tube of the scope. He said it went right straight in one glass and out the other, and went right into that guy's eye as he was looking through the scope. That was an awesome shot. But anyway, the things that he did, you know, hiding underwater for, you know, breathing through a reed for extended periods of time, and just everything. What a phenomenal, superhuman individual this guy was. For many years, Carlos Hathcock had the record as the number one top dog on the totem pole with the record number of confirmed kills. And I think it was 93 or 97 or something. I don't remember. It was 90-something. Those are confirmed kills. You know, we have no idea how many he made as targets of opportunity, incidentals that didn't count towards his, or, you know, didn't matter or was not able to be confirmed or whatever. They go after a certain target, and you get that target taken care of, and you have the opportunity to take out two or three more or whatever. So, C7 I've watched, Michael Moore has caught everlasting hell over his stupid post about snipers being cowards. Yeah, it'll be a long time before he gets over that, I can assure you. Anyway, long time, Carlos Hathcock and Doc posted in there, they called him White Feather. Carlos Hathcock used to carry a little white, I don't know what kind of feather it was, but kind of a down type, not a wing feather or tail feather or something, one of the little fuzzy feathers, you know. Carried that in his, I believe in his hat, if I'm not mistaken, I don't remember. But he carried that feather to use as a wind gauge. He'd be able to tell exactly with that, you know, just the tiniest little puff of breeze that you could hardly feel on your face, so low that you couldn't tell which way it was coming from. He would take that little feather and hold it up and say, okay, that's what we got. This is how far it is. And he'd work this out and made a lot of phenomenal shots. But, alas, he is no longer King Sniper. There's actually several snipers. Chris Kyle, for one, has... he had 255 kills, 170 of them confirmed. If you watch the movie, read the book, you know, he said it got to be, he said it was almost fun sometimes. And in order to do that, it sounds bad to the uninitiated. It sounds bad to the soccer moms and the liberals out there and the people that have all great deal. That's an awesome picture right there. So much compassion and all that. Okay, in order to do that and do it well and let it bother you, you have to look at these people as not people that you hate, not people at all. It's a job, and these are targets. They have to be dehumanized. And in order to do that over and over and over and have it not just destroy you, you have to be a complete freaking psychopath, or you have to have absolute control and be extremely disciplined and in charge of your what do you call it, psyche or your psychological? I've seen that foosball thing.
Fun.
Yeah. And anyway, you have to just look at them as ducks, rabbits, paper targets, whatever. You know, there's another one. Just take him out and move on. But he was the deadliest of snipers. However, there's a guy, SFC Sergeant First Class Dillard Johnson is his name, the deadliest U.S. soldier on record. Now, I didn't say sniper. He was the deadliest U.S. soldier on record. Sergeant Johnson, hang on a minute, my cotton picking computer locked up. I got a, the tinker has helped me with figure out a way to fix this thing. So, Sergeant Johnson, listen to this. This is, let me check and see, this comes from the New York Post. Sergeant Johnson has 2,746 confirmed kills. 2,746. He is a commander of a Bradley, the Bradley fighting vehicle. I remember when the Bradleys first came out, I actually went temporary duty to an FMC plant in San Jose, California, doing what they call TM validation on the Bradleys. What that means is they've written this manual up and they say, okay, you go in there and you do this task. You know, whatever it says, you do it, and you do it precisely like the book says. It's the same tool. He said, don't use your mechanical knowledge to try to do it right regardless of what the book says. Do it exactly as the book says. These books are written on like a ninth grade level, and if we could not accomplish the task exactly as the book says, then we need to tell them why and what needs to be fixed and how to modify that manual so that they can put it out to the troops, and any of the guys can pick it up and say and accomplish a task. So that was kind of interesting. It was fun. I stayed out there for a month out in San Jose every day working on the Bradleys and redoing this manual. Anyway, he was the commander of a Bradley. 48 years old, helped lead a ground assault during Operation Iraqi Freedom. Overwhelming the enemy, they say, with a relentless show of military might that left a trail of dead in his wake. So I guess he had kept track of these. He said that, let's see, they wrote a book about his, the book is also called Carnivore. He called his Bradley Carnivore also, by the way. And they say that there may have been a deadlier soldier in an earlier war, but since detailed records have been kept, Johnson tops the list. It's a, he said, and this guy did the same thing, kind of dehumanized the people. He said, it's kind of sad to say, but they're just another pencil mark. He says, I don't think of the numbers. That's not a boast that I would make. He said, it's just, and they did the exact same thing that anybody else has to do when you're, intentionally eliminating, large numbers of people and being justified in doing so. Johnson said he grew up in Kentucky, and by the way, Whitefeather grew up, I think, in Kentucky or Tennessee. I don't remember what Tennessee, I believe. Anyway, he was hanging out in the mine, killed his first deer when he was 13 years old, 6-point buck with a .22 rifle. In Iraq, he joined Charlie Troop, 3rd Squadron, 7th Cav, going on hunting bigger and more dangerous game, wiped out a truckload of Iraqis with 6 high-explosive rounds in March of 2003. That was just the beginning of what happened. In his second tour in 2005, he took up sniping, logging into 121 kills, longest one being 821 yards. And he is second only, as a sniper, he is second to Chris Kyle. And in this deal, it said he had 160 kills. According to other tallies, Chris Kyle had 170 confirmed, 255 altogether. So he said, I had already had the talent of being able to shoot due to the fact that I grew up with a rifle that wasn't zeroed to me. and he recalls using the use of a gun calibrated for his father. Calibrated meaning sighted in. After two tours in the second Iraqi war, he took home 37 medals, including a Silver Star, four Purple Hearts, and gives all the credit to his troops. Call sign Crazy Horse, and which dates back to General Custer's time. And he said there's not another brotherhood like it. He said his past never haunts him. He says, I killed when I needed to. I was brutal when I needed to be, but I was compassionate when I needed to be. In my mind, I never killed anyone who wasn't trying to kill me or trying to do harm. He has a bullet permanently lodged in his leg. The battlefield left him with a new enemy to fight. He's got stage 3 Hodgkin's lymphoma. He believes he developed the cancer from inhaling particles from armor-piercing depleted uranium shells. Actually, projectiles, not shells. Turn radioactive when superheated. Depleted uranium is not dangerous in and of itself, but after it gets superheated from being shot and hits something, I guess there's more radiation. But he has no regrets. He says, I'm not upset that the DU, the depleted uranium, gave me cancer. He said, if I hadn't had the DU rounds, there were vehicles that I wouldn't have been able to destroy that would have killed me. The cancer was in remission, returned in January. He'll go through chemotherapy and everything. Hopefully, he'll survive. He says he's given up hunting, preferring to surf with his 13-year-old son. So anyway, his book, remember the name of the book, the memoir, is called Carnivore. Goes on sale Tuesday, and he quotes Hemingway in there, those who have hunted armed men long enough and liked it, never really cared for anything else thereafter. That's a neat story. If you want to look that up, the guy's name is Dillard Johnson, Sergeant First Class Dillard Johnson, 2,746 kills. That's quite a record there. All right, before we get too far, let me get up here and check out what's going on with my chat room here. See what happened. Had a few new people come in. A little slim tonight. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if it's because everybody puked their guts out and went to sleep with the dry, you know, trying to keep from getting the dry heaves from watching the State of the Union address. Pretty slim pickings there tonight. But that's all right. We don't care because we get a lot more people in our podcast. So that's, I never find out, you know, I've told you before, I get a little discouraged sometimes. And then out of the clear blue sky, I get something there where somebody says, oh yeah, we listen to the Shooting Bench in our shop. You know, we have like 50 people listening all at the same time. So pretty neat. It's a lot of fun. Let's see. Cruise down here and see what's going on here. All right. Okay, let's move on here. Here's another one. Got lots of stories here. I love it when a plan comes together. I love stories with happy endings. Once again, in Newark, there was a deli owner who shot and killed a would-be robber. In Newark, charges not going to be filed. He's getting away. Just nothing happened to him at all. That's awesome. When, especially out of some of these big cities out from that part of the country, that someone is forced to defend themselves and it winds up in somebody's death, and they don't go right to jail and everything. So I'm good with that. All right, hang on here a minute. Oh, let me tell you, we have another battlefield medic class coming up on 27th and 28th of February. We got a counter-strike class coming up the 24th of this month, this coming Saturday, actually. And we have our new little classroom finished here. This is going to be a little bit different for some of you like C7 and some of those guys out there that have taken classes from me in New Mexico. We had a classroom that seated routinely every week for 7 months. We had 22 people in there. Once in a while, we have had as many as 26. We'd have people that said, you know, I don't care if I have to just sit in a chair over in a corner out of everybody's way. I got to get into this class. Okay, whatever. Yeah, I'm telling you, we don't have enough room for you, but if you're under those conditions, if you want to do it, we'll get you in here. So there was a couple of times we had 24 or 26 people in there. So this is not going to be like that. However, I'm not going to have the need to do that here. We've got a big, nice building down here that we use for our other classes. We had a class, the first Battlefield Medic class that we did here locally a couple of months ago had, I believe, 65 people show up. And no, that wasn't the medic class. That was the disaster preparedness class. Had 65 people show up. And the next one after that, we had close to 40. So we've got a nice place to do bigger classes like that when we need to. But there's going to be incidental classes that's going to come up there. You know, if a family wants a CCW class or, you know, reloading or something like that. So this little building is going to be a tremendous asset for us. It's going to be neat right here at home where we can do, you know, small classes. You know, we can seat. I was figuring it out tonight. I can squeeze 10 in here if I need to. We can do 8 very comfortably and still have room for the shop here in the back where I'll be, you know, building colloidal silver generators and dry practice kits and working on guns and reloading and all that kind of stuff. So this is the, as far as I'm concerned, the absolute ultimate man cave. It is very, very cool. So maybe some of you, if you get out here in this part of the country at some point in time, you can check this out here. C7, which class are you looking to get into here? The anonymous, it's not odd at all, really, that they use depleted uranium. It is the it's a very unique substance. It's a metal, I guess. I'm not sure if you classify it as a metal or not, but it's heavy, like lead. And when it goes into it's outstanding for armor penetration. And when it goes through there, when that depleted uranium projectile goes through that armor, people that are inside of a tank or a personnel carrier or something like that, they are going to have a very, very bad day. Yes, there are some hazards for using it. However, it's I guess people are willing to accept some of that due to the effectiveness of the substance as an armor piercing round. Okay, let's move on here. Not sure what Anonymous is talking about there. Anonymous, you ought to log in there and let us know who you're at or who you are and what part of the country you come from. We'd love to find out where all. We've got people all over the country out there, and it's interesting to see where our listeners come from. And because a lot of times we find out that it's in towns where I've gone and, you know, done classes or work, traveled through or whatever. So don't have to, but we'd love to see you. Love to find out where you're from here. I'm having a little trouble. Hold on here just a second. I'm trying to get my other stories to come up here, and I'm having a... The Tinker has given me directions to fix this tonight, and after the show, I'm going to make sure that happens. But as of right now, it's not happening. Okay, well, nevertheless, it's about quitting time anyway, so we're just going to let that go. And tomorrow, Amy will not be on. I will be on regularly, regularly scheduled programming. And Iowa Cat, we can fix you up if you can get down here. Or I would, we'd have to get several people signed up for a more advanced class up here. But I would come to Iowa. I'd love to come up there and shoot some pool with you. And if we could get a class lined up and come up there to Iowa, I'd probably grab Jason or Wesley. Matter of fact, what I'd like to do, if we could do it for the amount of time we've got to be gone, I'd like to bring Amy up there and do a class with me. That would be awesome. But anyway, we've got class for everybody, Iowa Cat. We could do that. You know what, T-Dog? I think you're right. I think you did say that he was from Canada. And the Spinning Globe, Anon, since you found us here, we have a complete different format. We are a complete different network. Most of the hosts that were on, all of the hosts that were on Just Measures, with the exception of Bobby and John Galt, have come over here and we've started the Survival Circle. No, we did not abandon ship from JMR. It's just that John and Bobby has come to a point in their life where they decided they need to take a break and get out of it. So I made a deal with Bobby and took control of the network. And that's why the Spinning Globe is gone. We'll talk to DeTinker. If he's still in there, maybe we can get that globe put back on there where the shows where all the listeners are from. That was kind of a neat thing to look at once in a while and see where everybody was from. Okay, I've had all the fun I can stand. I got to get out of here. Iowa Cat, get it in gear and get us a class going up there. Remember, if you get us... do all the footwork for us and find us a venue to train that is safe and legal to shoot, and do all the things that I would need to do if I were there, you get your class free. So you could potentially get saved $950 if we took the most expensive class that we have up there. All right, I'm going to get out of here. We will see you guys tomorrow. And oh, don't forget Thursday will be the all militia show. We're going to probably go quite a bit overtime over our regular hours. Since nobody follows me, it's not going to hurt anything. And we're going to talk about every facet of militia that you could possibly imagine. And it ought to be a fun show. We haven't done that probably for over a year, so it's probably time we do that again. So good night.
Thanks for joining us for another edition of The Shooting Bench. Please join COPE Monday through Friday for the most politically incorrect firearms information show on talk radio.
Lead, follow, or get the hell out of the way. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for you to decide who you are. Somebody should call them. Somebody should write a letter. Somebody should try and stop that. Somebody should do something. I challenge you to look in the mirror and tell me what you see. If there's somebody there, that would be you. It's time for you to do something. There is no doubt that the Constitution is hanging by a thread. It's not going to wait for us much longer.